of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Hey, welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as usual, I'm joined by my two friends, air hosts of Sounders Scuttlebutt, the Alliance Council Secretary, Cameron Collins.
Yo.
And the Alliance Council Extraordinaire, Nicholas Biella. What's going on, man?
Howdy ho.
Yo, and howdy ho. Well, what's going on? We are recording the 14th. This is Monday. Feels like we actually have our shit together. Our three-body problem was not a problem this week. We're recording after we just defeated FC Dallas in Frisco. We are sitting 11th on the table for the Western Conference, and they are at 8th. We won 1-0. So we won. There's a positive. We haven't won a game in what feels like 2 months, but it's really, I think, been, what, 5 matches since LAFC?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It was a month and a week. So, I mean, it was 5 weeks. So it feels like a long time, but it is a long time.
I mean, it was essentially we didn't get a win the entire time that Pedro and Jordan were out.
True.
That's true. And both were there.
Yeah.
Actually, one started and one watched from the bench.
I mean, it kind of, I mean, that's a different story altogether, but yeah, that happened. That was a thing.
That was a thing. You know that thing is a thing? A beer. I'm going to grab mine.
Well, while you're grabbing yours, I'm going to open mine because I've been really looking forward to this.
Ooh, that was solid.
Mm. No. It's still liquid.
Hilarious.
I know. I try.
All right, I'll do mine. My Elysian Space Dust, which they have here in San Diego.
I mean, it is owned by Budweiser.
Bud.
Why?
Sir.
Nice. Do that one. What's up there?
No.
It's funny. I'm drinking, you know, Elysian Space Dust, but I'm wearing Rainier. I'm wearing my Rainier sleeping bag with arm sleeves thing. And you're drinking a Rainier.
I am drinking a Rainier.
And he's wearing Space Dust sleeping bag.
This is not true. But I had to look down because I was wearing my Stoop sweatshirt earlier today. So I had to see if I was still wearing that. We've just been very, very confused. But not the case. And then there's Cameron, who's neither drinking a beer nor wearing beer paraphernalia.
No, I'm wearing Sounders paraphernalia.
You are.
That's true.
I'm wearing game-worn Sounders shorts that Nicholas got me. My testicles are currently sitting where Chad Marshall's testicles once sat. And then I have a one God of those. What were these called? The Prime. They like recycled jerseys, whatever, you know.
The no one cares parlay. Anymore. The parlay.
Yeah, parlay. I'm wearing a parlay jersey as well.
Not even 4 minutes into the show and two sets of testicles were brought up.
Yes.
I mean, is it really a show?
We don't even consent.
If we didn't talk about Chad Marshall's testicles, is it really a show?
I mean, in all fairness, Chad Marshall apparently had a reputation for doing naked cartwheels in the locker room.
Okay. So, yeah, we have a lot in common.
Tracks. Okay.
That's me after Pub League.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Yeah, Pub League, another good weekend of Pub League. Very sunny for me. For you, you cold. Were early enough, so it was probably cold. But I got sunburns. We had one game because we had practice for the first half and tied 1-1. And I got to play. I played one shift at center back. And otherwise, I played two shifts at right wing back and two shifts at forward.
Oh, moving up a little bit, moving around a bit.
Moving around and forward was super fun, and didn't get a goal, but I did draw someone away when a goal was scored, so that was fun.
Cool. We had two games for us. One game in goal for me, where we had a 1-0 shutout, and then one game out in the field where we also had a 1-0 shutout. Nice. So we
had a 1-0 this weekend.
We are 6-0, our team. Wow. So we're off to a good start. Yeah.
What about your team, Aaron? Oh, that's right. You're a quitter. You quit Pub League.
Mm.
You could fly up every Sunday for it, and you don't.
You're not wrong. I could, but I don't.
Yeah.
Because it's not financially feasible. I'd get a divorce. It wouldn't be my choice.
But you get to play Pub League with us, so.
But it is an option.
I'd probably be up in this season 6-0 since I was on Nick's team one. I think only 1 year I wasn't. So
yeah.
I could be a victor right now.
Yeah, you were newcomer of the year, weren't you?
That's true. I didn't even score that year.
But you had badass shoes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the only reason I was still allowed in Pub League is my shoes. I had Lego Adidas. Like Lego bricks. They're still awesome. They're right there.
The funny thing about those is what's more uncomfortable than stepping on Legos and your shoes?
That was the point.
Legos.
That was the fucking so point. Good. And I would say that after I was done swearing, after I'd get stomped on.
Oh, I got stomped on so bad.
You're not supposed to step on these fucking shoes.
My toe was so swollen after the game. Someone stomped on my foot.
Oh, man.
Oh. Well, we're on time constraints actually here.
Because we have a special night tonight.
We do have a special night. What are we doing, Nicholas? You designed this
scuttlebutt orgy night.
Yes.
Jesus, Cameron. I'm surprised you're wearing clothes.
Man, I don't know what you're wearing. That can be arranged. Right. You just put ideas in my head.
No. Nicholas, what are we doing?
Well, my plans have suddenly changed.
What's the name of that bakery by your house? They're the
yes, the coffee shop that had the orgy shut down.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. For the Patreon episode, let's talk about that.
Well, it was they were selling it through brown paper tickets, and they anyways. This is a true story. This is a completely true story. The coffee shop right a block away from my house was doing an after-hours BDSM night. And, we may have to post that into the Discord. We'll post it in the Discord because I'm not going to have the conversation about it, not when I'm drinking a beer, because it was fecal matter and...
I didn't know you were going to actually say it.
Okay, come on. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to yuck anyone's yums, but no thank you. Okay, so after we're done with this episode, which we are going to do, we will be
recording... An abbreviated episode.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be recording a nice little Patreon episode, yes.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a all-time Sounders draft where each of us will take turns choosing from the Sounders rosters and create our own game day 18. And we'll kind of compare and contrast and see who ends up having the best team that they can put together.
We'll put the teams in the Discord actually and we'll see who had the better team.
Yeah.
From the community discussion.
Might have to do that.
Speaking of which, if you haven't joined the Discord, do so. It's in the show notes.
Indeed. We get to do all sorts of fun stuff. Some quick scuttlebutt today. Did anyone catch the WNBA draft?
Yeah. I mean, I'm only disappointed because the Storm had the number 2 pick and not the number 1 pick.
I'm pretty excited about who they took with their number 2 pick. It's got some... You know, it could be a game changing pick. 19-year-old. So right there, that got 5 years of extra time than most of the other players coming out of the draft. And the more I learn about Dominique Malanga, the more I'm like, okay, that's a reason to be excited. 6'6". Youngest player on the French national team that won silver in the Olympics last year, can dunk the ball, just would be, is now the second tallest player on the team. So some good, you know, some potentially good stuff there.
She's being compared to Victor Wembanyama.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, who is a fellow French person.
And a foot taller.
Yeah, but I hope it works out. Obviously a project pick, not someone who's going to immediately have an impact on the roster. I think the big reason is Aaron Levine of Q13 was talking today on Twitter and pointed out that the three number one picks that the Storm have had are three of the greatest players in WNBA history. Whereas the number two picks, they haven't been busts, but they haven't been all-timers.
Can understand that, you know.
And plus, Paige Buckner's is amazing. It would have been cool to figure out a way to get her.
Yeah. But she was not falling past the first pick.
Yeah, true, true. Only other news I think that I can think of is Vancouver Whitecaps have moved up to number one on ESPN's power rankings from three. I'm surprised they were as low as three. Columbus stayed second. Inter Miami dropped from one to three. San Diego stayed at four. Minnesota went up a spot to five. And we got to go all the way down to, wow, this is far, 16th. To find the Sounders.
That feels fair.
And we were 16th two games in a row. Portland has now jumped us. They were 18th and now they're 15th after a win over Kansas City, the worst team in the league.
They're fourth in the Western Conference, but yeah. God, that sucks.
LA Galaxy might be the worst team in the league, if I'm being honest.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I mean, not really. Ricky Puig is that good.
Yeah. Totally. That's the huge difference there.
Yeah. It's nuts. Anything in the mailbag that we can look at here?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If we pull up the mailbag, we actually had some stuff come in after the last episode, but we had some, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but y'all hadn't heard about it yet. But Russ, with Rusnak possibly being out this week, will we see Jesus at the 10? Jesus did not play the 10. He played a wing, right? Against Dallas?
Are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Yeah, because I think Paul was actually kind of playing
wing right. That got me off for a second. It's like wing right?
No, wing, comma, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't see that. I would have liked it. I think that's a role that he thrives in. But we won, so, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, we'll get into how we feel about that game, but I was expecting him to be up top. And, I mean, trying to gauge the whole match, but, I mean, he still played up top. There's movement up there, but, yeah, I don't think that was his. Trying to pull up the questioning now.
It kind of felt a little like the old days of the amoeba back in 2013,
yeah,
where a lot of undefined, just kind of flowing with the game state and the, you know, just kind of a little more free flowing. It's what it's felt like at times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got two other scuttlebutt, both Sounders related as well, that we should hit, in the mailbag, or I guess three. So I'll bring them up and you can both answer in turn, and then I'll follow up. With Reagan most likely out for at least a game, asks Alex Diaz, with a pulled hamstring, who would you rather have slotted into his place, Kim Keehee or Bell?
Well, Aaron, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I think Bell's had a number of good performances. I'm stoked to see Keehee. That's just, you know, sentimental value right there, but...
And we got a half out of just
about, yeah, he got a half. Yeah, he didn't get a full match yet. I think he's bound to get one. But right now, every point, we can't let points slip right now because of our injuries.
Yeah.
And the consistency that Bella's had, at least from the performances I've seen, he hasn't been terrible. He's made mistakes, but so has, you know, Reagan. And Yamar, for that matter. So I'd rather go with what we know, and until we have a little bit of a cushion where we can play around a little bit to give Keehee more minutes. And that being said, if Keehee has to start for some reason, I do have confidence in him until he doesn't show me he's got it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, because I like the guy.
Yeah, I can see that. I just think that Kihi's game translates a little closer to Jackson Reagan's. Reagan's, one of his biggest strengths is his passing, his progressive passing. And at least in Kim Kihi's first time around with the Sounders, that was one of his strengths, was those progressive passes and being a little bit of a little bit more of an offensive defenseman looking for those forward balls. So I wonder if that's why he was.
You just, I knew that was going to happen. Cameron, come on. You were talking about mailbags earlier.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nicholas is right. Kim Kihi's game plays more to it. The question will be, is he 70, 90 minutes fit or is he not? So I think we probably will see both. The question will be who starts.
I do wonder if the roles were reversed, if it was Yamar that went out in the first half. I wonder if we would have seen Jonathan Bell instead of Kim Kihi. Just kind of curious about that. Obviously, we won't know, but...
I think they definitely wanted to get Kim some minutes.
I think so.
So, yeah. And second question there from Alex Diaz then. And maybe y'all know more news than I did. I did not watch the Brian Schmetzer press conference on Monday. So Nicholas will know the answer to this, hopefully. How many minutes do you expect Ryan Kent to play on Saturday? And or do you think he gets the start? I did not realize anything about his visa was finalized. You know news on that?
Yeah.
So he was still in Vancouver. The way that Brian answered the postgame presser was if Ryan Kent gets a full week of practice in, he is expected to feature in the game.
Cool.
And how much time? Obviously, going off of Brian's history with integrating players into the team, I would expect to see a 15-minute appearance is what I would expect to see. However, at home, maybe a little bit of excitement. Everyone seems to be really excited about Ryan Kent. So maybe he might go a little more than normal. I think we'll probably get a better idea come Thursday's press conference, to be honest.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want anything more than 15 minutes. I mean, we got him because we are injured. And this guy hasn't played in nearly a year.
Yeah, it'll depend on his shape. I don't
all
think
all indications.
He could be fit. He could have been working out this entire time. So
all indications are he is.
It's
very
not game
fit. That's true. But all indications is he's very sharp.
If he's been out there working out every day, running my 20 miles and lifting weights, then you can easily be game fit. I see nothing from Jackson Feltz on it, but maybe he was too busy tweeting about the Harry Potter being released 14 years ago today. So,
Oh, speaking of which,
the movie,
Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Speaking of which, I am going to say, the other night I watched on Max the documentary about John Williams. It is fantastic.
The composer?
So if you're looking for just a really good watch, I intended on it to be kind of background noise. I ended up getting really into it. Highly, highly recommend it. Very, very good.
And do you know who John Williams' son is?
Yes. Toto, lead singer of Toto. Or drummer.
The band Toto. I just found that out about a month ago.
Yeah.
The what now?
The band Toto?
The band Toto.
No, yeah. John Williams' son played Toto in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I was picturing Frodo, actually.
He did provide the singing voice for the adult Simba in the animated feature Lion King as well.
That's correct. I did know that.
Yeah.
Put that on your mantle.
Yeah, yeah. So
no, I have Totoro on my mantle, not Simba, but Totoro, that's another story.
A Snorlax. That's just like a Snorlax.
I called you a bastard, which is a nice segue to the next scuttlebutt question from Dan the Bastard.
Wait, real quick, just because I said it, and so you people will have heard me. Lil Nas X just announced an hour ago that he has been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, and he's lost control with one half of his face. So, not good for someone who sings for a living. It's pretty sad.
Oh wow, wow, that seems young.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure how that works. It seems like stroke symptoms, but I don't know anything about it.
Interesting. Mm.
So yeah, go ahead and read Dan the Bastard there.
From your bird's eye view running the Discord and the Alliance Council, do you see any of the fan anger, disappointment, frustration, whatever you want to call it with the slow starts, turning into apathy? I'm in several Sounders-related groups, and it seems where last year the start was met with anger, this year is being met with, oh well, I'll do something else instead.
I'm not. I think people are either angry or are like, well, they can pull it out. But I think that's only because there's nothing else to root for. In the past, when things like that have happened, the Mariners have been playing well. The Kraken have been on a playoff run. This is not happening right now. The Kraken have one game left, and they're the like second worst team in the NHL. Are you caught up on the Mariners, Aaron?
Not tonight, but
I don't think they played tonight.
Okay. Yeah.
But sweet. They swept Texas after taking the series from Houston. So maybe things are starting to look up. I will say that Cal Raleigh has hit quite a few home runs with the torpedo bat. He's one of the few players on the team that is using it. But there was a thing on Twitter going around today saying now that the Mariners are playing well with it, they'll probably ban him.
Yeah.
Very Major League Baseball. But I haven't seen, I mean, I think people are still largely going to the games. I don't think the show rate has dropped significantly. And I think that the big fans are still, like the people who are really into it are still mad. So they're still talking about it. I think other people don't have another bandwagon to jump on yet. So they're just kind of there.
I don't know if apathy is the word I'd use. I think you're right that there are people that are angry, people that just are not fans of Craig Weibel are just going to use this as more ammunition to, you know, to self-fulfill prophecy. And that's okay. You know,
but as we talked about, those are low information fans because they don't understand what Craig Weibel has to deal with.
Well, I mean, in sports in general, you know, ultimately you're going to have your, you know, your opinion, and you're going to have some sort of confirmation bias to a degree, and that's okay. We all have that, you know, we all have that in different ways. But what I'm going to push on is that I don't think it's apathy. I think that a lot of people are recognizing that, yes, while the wins and losses are very similar going into the Dallas game as last year's slow start, the way it's happening is different. And the way it looks on the field is different. Because, like, if you played those games, you know, those first six games, if you play that 10 different times, that's the results we currently have are probably going to be on the low end of those results. Like, I feel like we have been incredibly unlucky.
I think the exact opposite. I think we've looked so much worse than last year. I think last year you had individual performances that were bad and individuals making a mistake. This is the entire team making mistakes. We don't look dangerous in the final third. There were a few like missed chances on goals, but largely we're not creative. So for me, this is way worse than last year.
I think it's recency bias because I do think like the San Diego game, that was just a shit show. Period. You're gonna have those every year.
You're telling me
that one's gonna be a shit show. I'm not even gonna try to defend that one. But the other games, the Carolina game, even the Cruz Azul home game.
The Carolina game is the only one I thought that was good outside of LAFC. The Cruz Azul home game, we should have scored two or three, and well,
but this is what I'm. This is what I'm saying. Like we had a
goal, but we had no ability to finish. Again, that's my.
But we did. We scored goals in that game, and got you know, and so I think what I'm getting at is I think, and that's kind of the confirmation bias that I'm talking about on both sides. You know, me with my optimism, and the other way around. Like I think the team has looked a lot better. And even this Dallas game, 1-0, but we were getting a lot of good chances, multiple shots off the crossbars. That second Musovski goal, How was that not reviewed? It looked like the offsides was the AR was looking at the guy next to Musovski. I think it was Leyva, and thinking he was offside, and he was, but I don't think Musovski was offside.
I agree with that.
And in the end, it doesn't matter. We won. Great. Maybe that's a sign of, you know, everything kind of coming true. Because we just have had some unfortunate luck in the first half of the first quarter of the season. But I think
I think the talent's not there, but it's not because we don't have the talent. It's because they're hurt. I think since they've gotten hurt, we've been absolutely terrible. And so now that they're back, as they get brought in, and then you're bringing in Ryan Kent, all of this can be remedied. That's why I'm not worried necessarily. But I think that you saw how much it hurts to lose your best players. And the real question will be, is Ryan Kent a replacement for Paul Areola? Paul Areola was playing out of his mind, and I don't know if
he
can replace him at this point.
I mean, it's a high risk, high reward. His ceiling is, honestly, Ryan Kent's ceiling might be the highest on the team.
I think he's probably the highest of any player we've ever had on the Sounders.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
The ceiling, not
the
not
ceiling, the, not what he's at right
where
now.
He is at, not where he will go necessarily, but his ceiling.
You're right. This could be just the right fit that it all clicks.
Yep.
For
and,
him.
Yep.
And definitely he's super fast.
And that's exciting. Now, is it going to come together? Who knows?
I'm excited.
But I wonder, you know, if I give you an over under, not seeing him play at all, if I give you an over under of 5 goals for him this season, are you taking the over or the under?
5
total goals for him or goals
in for him? Just goals. Just goals.
I think I would take that because we've got 20 games
left. I would
take
that as well. Yeah.
5 goals in 20 games. Yeah.
Okay.
And all competitions too. I mean,
yeah, especially with Paul Areola not coming back, he essentially will slot in, not the same type of player at all, and will be playing differently, but he will slot into his minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be a situation. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. 1, his fitness. 2, the way he fits with the team. 3, the fact that we may need a formation change to get him to get the most out of him. But he also, the other side of that could be that he's got the talent level that just exceeds where even in a weak formation to his strengths, he can still make things happen. We just don't know.
I think
know.
It's more likely there's going to be another player left out. There's going to be a player currently starting or in our ideal starting lineup that will not be starting. I have a very strong opinion on who I think it is, despite the fact that I love him. I think Rusnak is going to be the odd man out in here.
Not a fan of that.
I just don't know where you can move Jesus to the 10, and that opens up a slot on the wing for Ryan. I don't know where else, unless you're going to go to 1 defensive midfielder, which of course I would love to do, but I don't think Schmetzer will do that.
I mean, step one is get him some playing time on the field and see what we've got. Because honestly, the other side of that is it's soccer. Injuries are going to happen. Who knows how many times we're going to have our ideal 11 even healthy and game fit. So,
if not, we've already dug ourselves a pretty big hole.
Yeah, it's been I can't even remember the last time we had a conversation about what the 11 should be or where people should be this next match and had everyone available. So, yeah.
Well, before we move on, Aaron, I want your opinion since you are a little bit more removed in that you are not living in Seattle anymore. So your stuff is kind of when you decide you don't like to read stuff on the internet sometimes because you might get spoilers to other games you're waiting to hear. So I think you're not as engulfed in it. And of course it was a hot take after a loss, but after the San Diego game, you, for the first time, started questioning whether or not Coach Schmetzer should be on the hot seat. Where do you now, a week removed, 2 weeks removed, I think, where do you see yourself now?
I mean, if he got fired tomorrow, I wouldn't be happy. No,
I agree with that.
Yeah, we're not there yet. I need to see some gross mismanagement of the resources that we have. And I feel like there's been some terrible decisions, and at least in the substitution tactics realm and just reacting to games, at least from what I think I should do, you know, because I'm a genius. But so many things have not been his fault so far to start the season. I'm just not exactly happy with the way they've been managed so far, but I haven't seen anything that's my jaws hit the floor. And I think that's going to get to the point where we start having that discussion. Like, how could he possibly, like, something just terribly.
I don't know if we ever saw that even with Siggy, though, right? The only time was in that playoff game when Shaury Joseph put up, but that was not the end of his career.
That's fair.
But even that.
But I think it would take more you're gonna put in for Brian. Exactly. Yeah,
like all those injuries, but yeah.
I mean, anyone but a defender? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the question isn't whether or not he should be fired. It was whether or not he should be in the hot seat. And I have no problem being on the hot seat. Yeah, fine.
True.
He's been on the hot seat for 2 years. Since we didn't make the playoffs, he was already on the hot seat, and we saw him turn around last year. If he had missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, he wouldn't have been our coach anymore. It's that simple. But he did it. He got that team together. They turned it around and put together an incredible run, and I have no doubt that we have the opportunity to do that again. And Ryan Kent will play a key role in that.
Yeah. However, if we're playing like this, despite even with injuries, I think it's going to be hard not to have that conversation in 2 months, right? If we're sitting outside playoff, losing every other match, like, it's going to be.
I don't see that happening. I just don't.
I didn't say fired. This is just like the
conversation. Oh no, I mean the losing every other match type of thing. I do not. I think this is. This is,
I mean, let's quickly look at the schedule just to see. Nashville's at home next match. They are pretty good, but ranked higher than us. They're not great. Colorado just beat San Diego. We're at Colorado. The match could be a loss. Then we host St. Louis. That's a win. Then we have to go to Houston. Always tough for us there. Then
but at least it's LA. In May and not the summer.
Right. Then we have to go to LAFC. You know, they're having a tough year, but always good. Then we go to Portland. Could easily be a loss. Then we host Dallas. You never know. Then we host Sandy. Like, literally, we could look a month from now and have really and because
I would say Dallas is a win.
Then we play Minnesota, right? But San Diego could be a loss. Then we play Minnesota, who's highly ranked, and then we play Vancouver, who's the best team in the league, leading in. So we actually could lose every other game. I hope we don't. We could also win every game. But those are teams that not only are better than us this year, they've been showing up. So the question will be: can we put it together enough to show up
with what we've got? Yeah,
what we've got. And I think we can, but they need to prove it on the field. So I don't think it's unrealistic to think that we could lose every other game and through June 8th.
I'm going to do a comparison. De La Vega and Julio Rodriguez kind of have, except not so much the injuries for De La Vega, but they kind of have the same right now. We need you when they play well, we're going to win games.
Yeah.
If you're not going to play well in that game, we're not going to win.
Yeah.
And De La Vega needs to play like that DP pretty much starting now to prevent that.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, up and down.
Or our defense just needs to play like
that. Would you, can I ask this of you both?
One nothing's a win.
Today, this season, let's ignore last season. Okay. This season, when De La Vega's been on the field, I think he's been most times the best player on the Sounders. Including in our most recent game, that first half, I thought he was absolutely lights out.
Yeah, I think there might be one or two, like maybe not the second Cruz Azul game, but that was just a shit show, right? Maybe not St. Louis, but no one was really good, and
the second Cruz Azul game he wasn't in because he got injured.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He got injured in the game before, and he wasn't in St. Louis either. So yeah. Definitely. I mean, he was the best against Antigua both times. He was the best against LAFC. I don't remember that Salt Lake match at all. That was a terrible match all around. Jeez.
But we were also rotating our squad pretty heavy.
He was pretty good against Charlotte in a match that they were mad to not win, but I thought they were lucky to even get a point with the late own goal.
Yeah.
No, De La Vega, I think, to me, he's been proving – he's been proving why he's the DP and what he's capable of. It's just, is he going to stay on the field? And these injuries are unrelated, so I think yes. I mean, that hit he took last match and got up from, to me, that was the gut check for him.
Yeah. By the way, that Salt Lake game, he did play just the second half of that game.
That's right.
But let's move on to our next game. Let's do a quick preview against Nashville. And
let's take the Patreon ad first.
Sure. We'll tease the Patreon ad because if you sign up, pause the whole the show right now, join Patreon, you can listen to the other half of the show that we're going to do regarding our best 18.
Yeah, our game day draft.
Our Patreon episode we're going to record after this. So yeah, I guess we will listen to you tease us, Cameron.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, so let's talk about this game more in detail, not distracted by ball sacks and mailbags. Who was that? I wasn't looking. Oh, Cameron. Okay. So, yeah, 1-0. 1-0. Yay, we won, but 1-0.
I mean, it felt like, even though we had less possession, it felt like to me, at least in the first half, we were the better team.
I agree.
I agree with that.
Playing in Dallas is always tough. I mean, it was...
Historically, we were not winning in Houston or Dallas. Like, we had... Yeah.
It was 70... You were off by, like, 1 degree, I think, Nicholas. I think you said 75, and it was 76.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 50% humidity or some crazy... Not 90, like we would get in the summer, but humid enough. 64%, I think it was. Humid enough that our players by halftime were... Not they weren't spent, but because they could keep playing, but you could tell how hard they were exerting themselves in that weather. Because it's still winter here. I mean, granted, today it was a beautiful day, and I got sunburnt and had an allergic reaction to the sun, like I do as my Irish self. But as a whole, it's been cold here. And so you take a team that's practicing the cold, and suddenly you're playing in humid and heat. And I think it was a trial for them, but... You saw us when we had possession, move the ball, and I think the goal, Danny was in the right place, but we've been talking about all the time that Moose is good because that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we could have easily had, it was one of those matches, 2, maybe 3 goals. Our shots on goal were, I think, 14. Was I looking at that earlier? Which is insane. Without more than one goal. Yeah, shots.
I mean, that's 14, kind of shots on our MO.
Yeah, but I do think we actually played pretty well. I just also think Dallas didn't play very well themselves. but they have
been. It got
been.
Chippy. It got real chippy.
It did. It did. And Acosta's a good player, too. I think we did what we needed to do with him. So I think I'm just happy that we got the win when we're in these like turbulent times. I wasn't expecting it. I think I said 2-0 to
yeah, you
one
said
Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just didn't see where a goal was going to happen. But De La Vega, that, I mean,
brilliant,
beautiful shot,
inches away. That was gorgeous. On the left. Well, he's a lefty, right?
Yeah.
Southpaw. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of which, let's give some credit where it's due to our game prediction challenge. We had two people with 4 points. They got everything right except for who scored the actual goal. And that would be Eric 13.
Ooh.
And then the other one, some asshole named Cameron Collins.
Yeah, finally! Yep. Instead of my prediction where I thought we'd lose, I changed it up day of because I had a good feeling. I just got the scorer wrong because I thought Jesus was going to show up against his old team.
Hmm. And he did. I mean, he had a nice look.
I thought he was going to score, I should say.
So congratulations to both of you. And just a reminder real quick about that game prediction challenge. Every match day, I do post a link to a Google Sheet documentation where you answer 5 quick questions. Just who's going to win the game, what the score will be. I'll give you an over-under, and who's the predicted first goal scorer for the Sounders. At the end of the season, whoever's got the most points is going to win a prize. We'll also have a prize for, we'll do a random draw of everyone who has submitted. So if you enter 20 games of the year, you'll get 20 entries. And so already keeping my eyes open for something, some fun stuff to give away for that. So keep participating. We're getting a lot of entries each game. We're having a lot of fun with that. And then on the Discord this week, I'll update our overall score to date.
Yeah. So I got a question for y'all.
I'm doing terribly.
Yeah. Well, I was too until this past game. But Danny Leyva comes on, subs in for Pedro De La Vega at the half there. Tremendous second half from Danny. I saw a stat today where he's got more minutes this season than he does any other season already, and that he's on pace for 1,000 minutes this season.
That's so great.
It was great to see. And he's played very well. And some people felt he was the player of the game, actually, based on, I think he might've actually won player of the game, from the club. So, despite Moose scoring, that's how impactful he was. De La Vega under minute restriction. Do you think that was the right place to take him out?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, taking him out then at the half, so you're not burning your substitution. And again, it's a minutes restriction. I am sure it was always going to be 45 minutes, you know, so no complaints about that. I really like that the club, all season long, right from the start, has been really trusting the data. And the one area where they maybe got it wrong is it could be argued that kind of led to Jordan Morris's injury just because he had been pushed a little bit hard. But for the most part, I think the club's been really good about managing minutes because we do have a lot of good depth in a lot of positions, with, as it turns out, the one exception being Jordan's position. Yeah. But great to see Moose get a goal and then a second goal in the same way, which I think should have counted. But so he's up to 2 goals this year. What did I say? I said now that he's going to get off that Schneid, he's going to be good for 5 to 10 all comps. So he's certainly on track for that. I'm really happy to see that. I do believe that's gonna only get better. You could see just the happiness on his face after both goals, even the called back one. And so that's really great. And if I understand correctly, did I see somewhere that he got engaged today?
Oh, I didn't see that. Wow.
Am I breaking news here? I am pretty sure that I saw that he got engaged.
Cool.
Yeah, Moose is getting hitched. Scored a goal and got engaged in the same week. So congratulations, sure, yeah. Danny.
I've said it before. I got to have dinner with him at the Rave Gala, and the dude is incredible. Like, one of the nicest people I've ever met. He's just incredibly cool. And well-deserved for him.
Well, he's having a good week. That's what happens when you become a sounder.
Yeah. Damn, it feels good to be a sounder.
Your life resets.
I mean, Ryan Kent's going to get a third crocodile now.
So let's talk about Ryan Kent and Nashville. So we got that game coming up at the end of the week.
Should be a fun
back-to-back night of soccer in Seattle. The Rain will play on Friday night against the Portland Thorns, and then on Saturday the Seattle Nashville match.
I thought you were talking about the Seattle Nashville match and then my pub league match the next day against one of the other three teams.
No. This weekend's the TST tournament, but that's another story altogether.
That's true. But you know what isn't this weekend is this weekend, not that day, is what you mentioned, the Rain.
Zombie Jesus?
Yeah, it is Zombie Jesus weekend. But the Rain get to go up against the Thorns, and likely we will get to see, I cannot pronounce her name, but the woman who wears the leg sleeves, who came out and dominated in that game on Saturday that we went to.
Yeah, it was a good game. Didn't get the result we wanted, but it's always good to see Marta play, and Barbara Banda is the real deal for Orlando. So it's just good to see just fun soccer. Rain games are a good time. So glad you were able to join me in Roma. And yeah. So
can I just give a quick I don't know if testimonial is the right word. Look, people, check your emails. Check your emails. I just happened to pull up an email account that I do check regularly, but I somehow missed that I was invited to the unveiling of the World Cup Seattle poster, and could have been hanging out at the World Cup headquarters with a bunch of cool people, and I didn't see the email. Check your emails. Sometimes there's cool stuff in there.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, I'm so sad.
Oh, my God.
That was 12 days ago. I missed it. Oh,
man.
Anyways, let's talk about Nashville coming up. In the Music City.
They're sixth in the East.
They had moved up from 15th to 10th in ESPN's MLS rankings this past week with a nice win they had there. But I will say they're a little bit of a different team because Walker Zimmerman is currently hurt. And so,
that was a nasty kick that he took to the head couple weeks ago.
Oof,
real nasty. He was just defending, putting his body in leg's way. It was not pretty.
Well, on top of that, they're already not a very good away team. One win, two losses to their three wins, one loss, one draw at home.
Yep. That's why I'm currently
bodes well.
Sixth. Absolutely. But definitely a big win. I guess they lost to Cincinnati, and Charlotte, but then they pulled it back against Salt Lake. And Salt Lake has been surprisingly good this year. But they had 22 shots in that match with 7 on target, less possession, but definitely were the more dangerous team there. And 90th plus one penalty, 91st minute penalty to beat Salt Lake 2-1.
Yikes.
Rough. Yeah. Look at that, 90 plus one.
Yeah, so they we saw their lineup. You know, Andy Nahar in the back, who I'm actually surprised is still in the league. I had no idea. With Palacios, Mar, and Lovitz, and then
Hani Mukhtar, obviously, yeah,
at center attacking mid with Mule on his left. I don't even know who some of their other newer players, like Kasim. I don't know, and their forward Surridge, who scored the goal. Sam Surridge is a newcomer to me as well. So this is a different team than they've had in the past. Not something that you necessarily see a team change that much up.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So what do you expect to see this weekend? Do you expect to see us coming out firing? Do you expect us to see us fired up with return of bodies and playing in front of a home crowd? What are your expectations?
I mean, if I'm going to just say a prediction, I think it will be a 2-1 win, but I don't know if they're going to come out like firing on all cylinders. I still feel like they're figuring out the right way to move. And we're getting more and more glimpses that they're figuring it out. Because De La Vega's had time on the field. I think he is just so key to making sure everything else works. And in my opinion, and I know Cameron's too, Rusnak as well, I think needs to be on the field for us
to show up,
score multiple goals.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the one thing for me that is questionable is what impact will their manager have on the game? Their manager this year is BJ Callahan, who of course was the assistant to Chicago's coach. What's his name? The guy that I dislike, Berhalter, at USA. And so he's the former USA assistant coach who took over as the caretaker manager when Berhalter was out. And let's see, he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw in that time. So fantastic. He did everything that Berhalter couldn't do with that team and made them better. And then they reinstated Berhalter, so he didn't get the job after that. And he's moved on to Nashville. So that's a guy with some good experience there. So we have seen times where we've been outcoached by creative coaches. So I don't know enough about his style, but I'll be interested to see what happens. I'm hoping we come out firing, because to me, that's the way that we win, is get ahead and then try to hold the lead rather than falling behind and trying to come back. Because it seems like our confidence is not high right now. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think our confidence is actually doing okay. I do. I think the club was really putting some stuff together against Dallas. I think having De La Vega on the field energizes them.
I agree with that. I just meant like when we make mistakes,
yeah,
they start to
compound,
and yeah. then because they're trying to overwork to get back to places, and so I want them to keep their head up.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So what's your prediction, Cameron?
Aaron, you said 2-1 Nashville? I mean, Seattle,
and it'll be dramatic.
I'm going to go 1-1. I think it'll depend on how much Ryan Kent plays, but until I see a multiple goal game, I won't believe we're capable of it.
Gabagool.
Well. I think you're going to get your wish. I think it's going to be 3-0 Seattle. I think I think we're going to be singing. We're having a fucking party over here towards the end of it. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, Nashville is a +4 goal differential. So, but in that time, they've scored 8 goals and given up 4. So it's not like they're giving up a lot of goals, but they're not scoring a lot of goals either. So definitely could easily be held to no goals.
Well, I mean, they've given up 5 in their last 3, so, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think we're primed. I think we're primed. And I think the ball's going to be falling our way after hitting way too many posts and getting on the wrong end of some really close offsides.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. That's exciting. I hope that all happens. And I think because we do have a Patreon episode, it's time to start pulling everything into port. But before we do that, you two don't know about this because I did it without asking you first. but we will see what you think of it. I have added a new level to the Patreon that people can join for $19.74 a month. What this gets you, there's only 3 of these available, only 3. What this gets you is we will work with you on the show to give you your own short segment. We're talking like 90 seconds. And it's got to be appropriate, it's got to be branding, but we will work with you then that you can have your little 90 seconds of say in the episode where your voice gets to be a part of our show and you're a guest producer with us.
So, Bob's Corner.
Yeah, exactly. Corner is exactly what I was thinking in my head the whole time. That's so funny. Whoever it is, Corner. So if you want to give us 19, and it's only available for 3 people, and when we are super famous, this is going to be like 500 a month. So you better get on.
When?
A- yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're not the president anymore, Cameron.
This podcast is going to be the biggest Sounders podcast in the history of the world. We're on our way there already.
I'm for it. Yeah, that's news.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I get to do this for free. In fact, I actually know I'm paying a lot of money to do this.
I understand.
That's why it's more than 90 seconds. That's why it's more than 90 seconds that we get to speak on here.
Yeah, yeah. But you'll get your say and you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's a chance. It's a chance for you to become a regular part of our podcast and not just yelling at the void in the Discord.
You will be our Sounders Scuttlebutt correspondent.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man!
I mean, look, it did wonders for John Oliver's career. Did wonders for Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell.
Look what it's going to do for Dan the Bastard now when he goes all in.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, let's go into port and let's do this this draft. So I'm ready to drink another beer.
Sounds good. Yeah. So where can they find you on the internet, Aaron?
You can find me on Instagram at Aaron Lingley and same thing at Twitter. I think I'm Aaron Lingley on Instagram. See, you probably won't find me there, but that's where you'll find my handle.
What about you, Nicholas?
Come find me on Instagram at Cascades2C. Find out what I'm up to, what kind of events I'm doing around town, what kind of trouble I'm getting into, what kind of glory holes I'm taking my daughter to.
Without someone understanding, that's going to be a very confusing and maybe child taking away reference. So I'm going
to come to my Instagram and you'll
I'm going to let you quickly give you just say something else before I
say smash butt. It's a miniature golf apocalypse.
So, and you can find me at Legal Minded Punk on all on most social media sites. I don't think I'm on Mastodon or Hello, but I might be.
I don't even know what Hello is.
It was the Facebook replacement.
I mean,
you're done, James. Talking. James, take it away.
James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.